All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3 for the message this morning. Colossians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use it. Colossians chapter 3. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Colossians. All right. Just testing you. Three is right after two. All right. How we doing? Ready? All right. You follow along as I read. I want to start at about verse 8. And read a couple of verses here to you. This chapter is the Apostle Paul trying to help the church at Colossae to mature and to show them how to grow. And I guess you would say that the theme of this book, the idea is you need to put off the old nature, the old man, and you need to put on the new. You got saved, and now you need to quit letting all that old nature sin stuff run your life, and you need to get in the Word and get close to God and learn Christ and let the way of Christ run your life. Do things differently. That's his point. And if you look at verse 5, he said, mortify, therefore. That word mortify, it means to consider dead. Just die to your old self and let the new nature, the new part of you that is given to you through Christ, let that run your life. Okay, so look down at verse 8 and you'll kind of get the gist of what he's arguing here. In verse 8 he said, but now ye also put off all these. So this is what we are by nature. All right, these are naturally what's in us. That you got to work on these things. If you don't, they'll consume you. They'll control you. And he said, all right, now that you're saved, put off these things. Just like you take off a coat, take off these things. All right, what are they? Well, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So these are the deeds of the old nature. And Paul says, put those off. Don't wear those around. They're not nice. They're not edifying. And verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So put off the old man, put on the new man, the new you, the saved you. Let that be what everybody sees. In verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. So in other words, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're a servant or a free man. Doesn't matter if you're white or black or yellow or in between or a mixture of the above. None of that matters. We all bleed the same blood. Amen. We all came from the same Creator. Yes, indeed. So we all get saved the same way. The ground is level at the cross. All right, so doesn't matter what your skin color is or what your gender is or what your education is, the gospel's for you, and if you get saved, the Lord will forgive you of your sin, make you a new creature in Christ. So put off all that old stuff, put on the new. All right, you just got the book of Colossians in a 2-minute sermon. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now here's what you're to put on. You're to put on bowels of mercy. What's that? Just tenderness. Just being kind. Being sweet. We had 8 grandkids at our house this week. Every now and then sweetness just went out the door. And you got to remind them, hey, be sweet. Be sweet. Be nice. Be nice. How many times did we hear, mine? Yeah, because that's what they are by nature. Wonder where they got that. Not their grandfather, of course not. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now watch this. The next line says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Remember what charity is? It's the character of love. It's more than just love. The character, char-ricter, charity, same word. And charity is the character of love. It's what love does. The right things that love does. So he said, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. It is the bow on top of the package. It's what makes it all work. Okay? So go back now, if you will, to verse 13. And in verse 13, the Apostle Paul is saying, forbearing one another. I want to speak to you this morning on that subject, forbearing one another. I'm not actually going to preach a sermon this morning as much as I am going to just talk with you. I want to reason with you if I can. I would like for you to just think that instead of the church being full this morning, it's just you and me. We're in my office and we're going to have a conversation. The only difference is you're not conversing, you're listening. All right, it's a one-way conversation. I'm going to speak and you're going to listen. How's that? And I want to just share some things with you on the subject of forbearing one another. I think this is something that we have just about given up on in our world today. There's not much forbearing that goes on anymore. And so I want to just talk with you. And if you will just listen, I'm not going to do a whole lot to make you listen this morning. There's very little illustration. There's very little example. There's no humor. I'm just going to talk to you. And so, but if you listen, I think it will help you in your relationships with everybody around you. So give me your ear for just about 35 minutes, and I think the Lord will bless this to your heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will help us to focus this morning upon the Word of God. Such a simple little admonition here from the Apostle Paul, forbearing one another. We've forgotten how to do this, and so I pray that you will bless as we think on these things today. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to communicate the message to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we will rejoice in what you do and how you do in our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things, and amen. If any person is to live life to its fullest and enjoy that life every step of the way. If a person is going to get the joy out of life that they want, I think that there are three virtues that we must steadfastly strive to have. The first virtue, of course, is faith in the God of the Bible. I don't think anybody is going to get the fullness out of life until they first come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not complicated. I think the Bible's very clear on that. Without faith in God, life will seem so unkind, so cruel, and inevitably harsh. The second virtue that a person must have is courage. A person must have courage. And I say this is true because every life, you say, well, Pastor, it hadn't hit me yet. Well, hang on, it's just around the corner probably. But every life has its hills and its valleys. It has its ups and its downs, and it has its victories and its defeats. We all know that to be true. If life has been kind to you so far, count your blessings, give God the glory for it, but get prepared because there's some valleys coming. That's just the way life is. No man makes it from the cradle to the grave without facing life's challenges, and courage must be found somewhere in the heart if you're going to keep moving ahead when the challenges come. And then the third thing, I think, if you're going to be happy, if you're going to enjoy every step of the way, then somewhere along the way, you have got to learn the matter of having a forbearing heart. A forbearing heart. There must be forbearance that is in your makeup. The Apostle Paul agrees with me on this subject, and he encourages us in verse 13, forbearing one another. In the book of Ephesians, when he was writing to that church, he, in the fourth chapter and in the second verse, also admonished that group of believers to forbear one another. And in that example, in that exhortation, he threw in the matter of loving one another. Forbearance and love certainly have to go together. Now, I looked up the word in the English dictionary, and the word forbearance had several definitions. The definitions I think that apply to us this morning are these. There are three. Number one, Webster said that the definition of forbearance is a restraining from something. And then a second definition was a patient endurance, self-control, forbearing one another. And then there was another definition that was given, and this one was an abstaining from the enforcement of a right. Restraining from or abstaining from the enforcement of a right. Now let's think about those three definitions for just a moment. You know, in this politically correct world that has been created around us, forbearance seems to have been flipped upside down. The whole idea behind the left's agenda of political correctness, the whole idea of the agenda is tolerance. The whole idea is that you and I be accepting of other people's defiance of the Word of God. There are some things that are just right and wrong. Period. I did not set the agenda. God did. And this whole idea of political correctness, it's just backward. You ever notice that the left is tolerant of everybody except us? That's weird, isn't it? We have become, in our world today, so rights crazy. There is a whole, there is not a whole lot of room for forbearing one another. That's why it was created, for us to forbear one another without judgment. But they don't carry it through across the board. You see, it takes absolutely nothing. Let's be honest. It takes absolutely nothing for us to offend another in our world today. You ever notice everybody's offended? I mean, we are an offended society today. There is this little thing that has governed our nation called the Constitution. And that Constitution has in its First Amendment a clause that guarantees every American citizen the right to free speech. But the PC crowd is trying their best to turn the country against this freedom. That's what political correctness is all about. Now, let me give you an example of that. If you deny or challenge any of the progressive left's sacred cows, like climate change, like same-sex marriage, like abortion, and the list just goes on and on and on, if you oppose any of that, then you will find yourself being isolated, singled out as a hate monger, as a bigot, as a homophobe. It will be said of you that you hate women, and the powers that be will do everything in their power to silence you, and if you won't be silenced, then they will fine you, and they will make sure that you understand that, yes, you may have First Amendment rights to hide behind exercising your First Amendment, but it will cost you if you do. It will cost you if you do. Now, does that sound like forbearance to you? You see, it's just working the exact opposite of what they intended it to do. Now, that is how all of this affects the world around us. But I don't want to talk about how it affects the world around us. I want to talk about how it affects the church around us. I want to talk about how it affects you personally as a member of the body of Christ. Paul wrote to the church here at Colossae, and the advice here, if you wish to be happy, if you wish to be fruitful, if you wish as a Christian to be productive, if you want to be a joyful believer, the key to that is to forbear one another. Now, let's think about the matter of forbearing one another this morning. There are three things that I want to call to your attention this morning. The first thing that I want us to look at, I want us to think of some of the evils of having an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. What are some of the problems when you have an unforgiving spirit, an unforbearing spirit? If someone does not have a forbearing spirit about them, what impact do you think that might have upon that individual? Well, let me identify a couple of things. I think, first of all, it would cause their life to be one of constant disappointment. If you're not forbearing, you're going to be disappointed in life. You understand that? I mean, I have often wondered that as I read the Gospels, I don't see one trace of disappointment at all in our Lord Jesus. Even though he was despised and rejected of men, you can never call him a disappointed man. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they laughed him to scorn, and then they crucified him on a cross. But when he marched back into the gates of heaven and took a seat at the Father's right hand, do you think for a minute that he looked at his heavenly Father and said, "Father, the last 33 and a half years has just been a tragic disappointment to me"? No, I don't think he said that at all. I don't think he said that at all. For with all of its sorrow, life was not a disappointment for Christ. His life was full. It was filled with joyous freshness. Every step of the way was joyful. And one of the sources of that unfailing freshness was our Lord's knowledge of the secret of forbearance. Folks, don't you think that he knew what he was coming to? Don't you think he knew what he would have to face? Well, of course he did. He expected great things from men, but certainly did not expect the impossible. And I like to think that he who made the heavens and the earth was ready when the hour came to make some allowances. And he did. Let me tell you something, folks. If you live expecting the impossible from everyone around you, you are going to be doomed to disappointment. And that would be a horrible way to have to go through life. We must learn to forbear one another, or we're going to be disappointed often as we live our lives. Another evil that is this. It is most difficult to be forbearing with those that we know and love the most. Why is that? It's because we're sinners, folks. And it is most difficult to be forbearing with those that we love the most. It is easy to be forbearing with total strangers and those we do not know. Oh, it's easy to forbear with them. We can tolerate some of their actions, but boy, we can't tolerate those we love. Shame on us. We can be tolerant of those who will only brush our lives, but those that we see daily, work with, or who live in the same house with us, whom we love and who love us, it is with those folks that it is often the hardest to forbear. There are some husbands who are tolerant of everyone else's faults, but they rant and rave and explode over their own wives' faults. And there are some wives who rant and rave over their husband's faults. They'll not say anything about somebody else's faults, but they'll rant and rave about their husband. Some parents are tolerant of everyone else's children, but they're not forbearing of their own. My kids this week, a couple of my children said to me, "Oh, Dad, you would have killed us if we did that." And I said, "Yeah, but look how you turned out." It's not my job to discipline and train these children. That's your job. My job is to love them and spoil them rotten. And I'm doing my job. If they're doing something you don't like, that's your job. You handle that. Don't you think it ought to be the exact opposite with those we love? Those ought to be the ones that we're forbearing the most. I think it only stands to reason that the gospel of love insists that those we love the most in this life should be the ones that we forbear the most. But sadly, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? There's a second thing I want you to notice this morning. Second thing is I want us to think for a minute on the character of forbearance. Think about the character of forbearance. I think this is such an important thing for us to consider because the devil has a counterfeit to every grace that God has blessed us with. So let's think about the character of forbearance. First of all, I want you to understand, true forbearance begins in a person's thoughts, in the mind. True forbearance begins in our thought life. Let me remind you, the Lord Jesus said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It is good to be forbearing in our actions. It's good to be forbearing in our speech. But folks, forbearance must begin in our thought life. Let me show you this from the life of our Lord. Hold your place here and go back to the Gospels, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And I want you to look back at verse 54. In verse 51, 52, and 53, the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And if you look at verse 53, it says that he entered into a village of Samaritans, all right? And it says they did not receive him. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did?" You know what they're asking? "Lord, can we have your permission to call down fire and just kill these people?" Where in the world did that come from? Does that sound forbearing to you? But look at verse 55. "But he," Christ, "turned and," what's the next word? "Rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. You see, it was not for their words that the Lord rebuked them, but it was for their spirit that the Lord rebuked them. If our unforbearing words come flying out of our mouths without any thought, they're going to cause hurt, leaving scars, and they're going to cause others great harm. So you know, as you're thinking in your mind, so are you. A lack of forbearance is usually a sign of a lack of thought. And this is why we need to be in the Bible, folks. This is why you and I challenge you practically every Sunday. Get in your Bible. Read your Bible. In your Bible is where you will find the mind of God. And what you and I need to do is get the mind of God into our minds so that when you think like God thinks. And right here's how you learn that. And so if you're in the Word of God and you are growing and you're becoming like Christ, you're not going to be like the disciples here and see somebody turn the gospel away and then say, okay, God, just go ahead and zap them. Just go ahead and zap them. There's no forbearance in that. Let me take this thought a step forward. You know, forbearance should be independent of our varying moods. Now, be honest. How many of you are moody? Huh? Come on, be honest. Yeah, about half of you are liars is what you are. Oh, we're all moody, aren't we? It is a mock forbearance that comes and goes with the changes of the day. When everything is going well for us, it's easy to be forbearing and tolerant of almost anything. When we are happy, when we're in good humor, when we feel good, when we got the bills paid, when we got plenty of money, it's easy to be forbearing with everyone and anyone. But Paul said, forbearing one another, period. We are to be a forbearing people. It is a virtue that should be faithfully demonstrated for the Lord's sake, regardless of whatever mood we might find ourselves in. Let me again show you this characteristic in the Lord Jesus. Do you remember when he came into Jerusalem a week before the crucifixion? And when he came through the gates of the city, the people welcomed him and they threw palm branches in his way. And as he rode into town, they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, I can imagine that he would have and should have been more than forbearing in that incident. Don't you? But then a week later, when this same bunch, went marching through the city, the same bunch of people, and they were crying, away with him, let him be crucified. And they beat him beyond recognition. When his face was marred more than any man, when the nails were driven into his hands and his feet, and when he was hung between heaven and earth to die, what would you expect to hear come out of his mouth then? And what came out of his mouth? First words out of his mouth, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what that is? That's forbearance. That's forbearance. Forbearing one another, even when we're suffering. Forbearing one another. Then thirdly, let me suggest some thoughts that will help us be more forbearing towards one another. Just two things. Number one, we need to realize how little we know about what others are going through. You know, that would make that would go a long way in helping us to be more forbearing. We know far too little about what others are dealing with to be harsh, to be critical, to be judgmental towards them. This is a shocker. But folks, listen. You know this. Everybody has feelings that can be hurt. Everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we're not all the same. I'm glad we're not all the same. Wouldn't it be a boring world if we were all the same? But we're not. God made us all different. We all think differently. We act and react differently. And no two of us are the same. And if we would just stop and realize that we do not know what our brethren are dealing with, and if we would stop and realize that, then we might be a little more forbearing towards our brethren. Did you ever meet someone and you knew them for years and you formed an opinion of them and maybe that opinion was not a good one? And then after years and after years of living with your opinion, which was negative, one day you learned the story of their life. You learned something about them. And when you found that out, you found out that there was some crushing blow that they had to face. Some event that just turned their whole world upside down. And when you learned that, you then said to yourself, wow, well, had I known that, I never would have judged him so harshly. Oh, Christian, forbearing one another. Because let's be honest, you just don't know the whole story. I told you last week, I hear everything that goes on outside my office window. Some of you might want to keep that in the back of your mind. And I often will stand there in the window and watch the kids outside waiting on mom to come pick them up. And man, through the years, I've stood there and watched kids be so ugly towards one another. I just sit there and think, oh, you little sinner, you. And you know, sometimes I know the one that's being verbally abused, the one that's being ripped apart. I know something that those kids don't know about that little child. I know what that child's dealing with at home. And boy, there's been times where out that door I've gone and I put a stop to it. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. You see, you don't know what tragedy. You don't know what kind of home situation. You don't know what kind of burden. You don't know what kind of disease. You don't know what kind of heartache someone might be facing. Therefore, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. There may have been something in someone's upbringing that would explain a thousand things if only you knew what it was. There may have been tragedy or some shameful event that they were mere victims of. In innocence, they might have been swept up in some terrible situation completely out of their control. So let's forbear one another simply because of life's perplexities and complexities. And you don't know their complexity. Only God does. Only God can tell the millions of threads that are woven into the tapestry of someone's being. Only God can do that. So, how do you build forbearance? Well, first of all, realize how little we know about what others are going through. But then secondly, think of how greatly we ourselves want and need forbearance. Would you just think of that for a minute? Even if we don't give forbearance, We sure want it from everybody else, don't we? I guess all of us irritate and alienate somebody. I mean, I know I evidently do. I guess we irritate others 1,000 times more often than we ever even think about how often we irritate others. If there are people who irritate us, I suppose it's only fair to realize that there are people who are irritated by us. Right? I suppose there is never a day when we could not sit down and say, well, whose cage did I rattle today? Just about every Sunday night I go home and I sit down on the couch and turn on the ball game and I thought, well, what did I say today that's going to get the emails flying? And usually every Sunday it's something. But point is, folks, let's all agree that we need others to forbear us, therefore we should forbear others. And if we need forbearance, we should be willing to give forbearance. So those two things, I think, will help us to be more forbearing and be able to do what Paul said, forbearing one another. If we would just realize, we don't know the whole story. Dr. Howells used to say back in the 60s and 70s, he said it all the time, and it's so true. He said, we're God's army, and we could conquer the world for God if we don't kill each other first. And that's the way we are as Christians. How many times have you heard me say, hey, folks, I'm not the enemy? How many times have you heard me say that we are not the enemy? Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is the devil. He's the one that's after you. Therefore, hold your attacks on your brethren. Forbear one another. Forbear one another. Now, as I close, let's think about how God has forborne all of us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you know, the forbearance of God is one of the eternal wonders that just overwhelms me. I sit and think about how gracious, how patient, how kind, how forbearing God is. And it's just one of those things that causes shorts to happen in my head. I can't get past a certain point. I just sit there and it just goes out into infinity. And I can't comprehend it. Well, let's be honest, folks. We sure expect God Almighty to tolerate it a lot, don't we? And praise His holy name, He certainly does. He gave us His word, which we don't read and learn from. He gave us His spirit, which the Bible says we grieve and quench. He gave us a free eternal salvation, didn't cost us a dime. But for some reason, we won't share it with others that desperately need it. He gave us a church, which for some reason we won't join and serve Him through. Strange, isn't it? And yet God is forbearing towards us. And you know, if God is forbearing towards us, even though our grievances are what they are, how much more should we be forbearing one to another? But you see, folks, because He loves us so. And don't forget, love covers a multitude of sins. But because He loves us so, He forbears us and tolerates all of our lukewarm efforts. Oh, that we might learn to forbear one another.